Hi, everyone. This is Craig Ballantyne from TurbulenceTraining.com, and I am here with your first ever 7-day weight loss guide, teleseminar, or podcast, whatever we want to call it. We're going to do this on a weekly basis. You know, it's going to be about 10 to 30 minutes. We might have guests on in the future, but for our first issue, it's just going to be you and me, and we're going to go over everything we can to help you over the next 7 days. So Monday through Sunday, we're going to show you the best tips, the latest tips, how it applies to, you know, putting this into your turbulence training plan and helping you lose more body fat and burn more belly fat and do all that great stuff. And we're just going to have a little insight into what I'm doing in my own training and nutrition and invite you into my home. Even tonight, we're going to take a look at my fridge and see what's in there. We're going to have lots of fun with this. And, you know, we'll open it up for questions, for you to email in questions, and I can cover those in the future. But let's get started. This is Volume 1, Issue 1 of the Turbulence Training 7-Day Weight Loss Guide. So we're going to start with Monday. Now, I'm going to release this on Sunday so you can get prepared for the next day. So we're going to focus on Monday as Day 1. And it's going to be December 1st. And for a lot of people listening, they're going to be coming off a holiday weekend in the United States. And even if you're not, you may be coming off your first Christmas party of the year. I know I am, and, well, we could either wait till January 1st or we could do this now. So let's focus on starting some new habits today on December 1st, Monday, December 1st. Don't wait till January 1st. You know, it's a Monday, and I always tell people that Monday is like New Year's Day every day of the week, or every day of the year, or every week of the year, whatever I'm trying to say here. But Monday, we always have that new hope, and we're always trying to get over some of the stuff we did on the weekend. So let's focus on building new habits. Now, what I've been doing recently is I'm getting up earlier and earlier. I try and get up before 6 o'clock now. And some days, twice a week, I'm working out right after I take the dog for a walk. So, you know, we do about 60 to 90 minute walk. Then we come in. Then I go to a workout. And usually this is more of a just a stay active kind of day workout. It's not one of my real heavy lifting workouts, but it's really, really good to get that workout done, and then I don't have the stress of, you know, breaking up my day. I get more done. And so people who are struggling to find time to work out, this is absolutely essential. This is the most important thing you can do, because if you can work out first thing in the morning, then nothing is going to get in your way later on. I mean, we can try and work out at lunch, but, you know, maybe a big meeting comes up, or after work, we got to take the kids somewhere. Things just aren't going to happen. So maybe a new habit for you is getting up 10 to 15 minutes earlier and starting with just 10 to 15 minutes of morning exercise. Make sure you avoid the sit-ups and the crunches. That's not a good time to be doing that. Your low back is not interested in that type of stuff first thing in the morning. Just get moving. Let's see what you can do, and maybe this can become a new habit for you. Now, there's all types of nutrition habits we're going to be talking about later on as the days go on here, but let's focus on maybe starting, you know, two simple baby step nutrition habits on Monday as well. We can add another fruit or vegetable to our diet, and we can cut out one of our little guilty pleasures. Maybe, you know, just cut the portion in half, or maybe, you know, downright eliminate it. So perhaps you're putting two sugars and two creams into your coffee. Let's cut that down to one sugar and one cream on Monday, first thing. And let's eliminate some of those unnecessary calories, and you'll start to see more results. So that's Monday's deal, new habits. One other thing I want to mention here is start tracking your diet and exercise. If you're not doing that right now, please start. Make it a new habit. Don't wait till January 1st. Get a month's head start on everybody else who's going to be showing up at the gym on January 1st and not knowing what to do. You know what to do now. You know to track your information. And I promise you, this is going to give you more results, because if you take a look at every single winner in my Turbulence Training Transformation Contest at transformationcontest.com, every single one of them has been very active in the forums and very active and very consistent in posting their diet and exercise. So it is not a fluke, it is not coincidence, it is a key factor in success. So start that habit today. All right, that's Monday. We did a lot there, didn't we? Let's move on to Tuesday. And for most people, Tuesday is going to be a non-turbulence training day because Monday is a real turbulence training day where you do workout A or workout B at your program. Now, on Tuesday, the goal is to stay active for 30 minutes. You know, keep your butt off the couch. It could be as simple as walking, going for a brisk walk, or it could be playing with the family. It could be playing sport. It could be walking the dog. It could be, you know, doing cardio on a machine if that's your thing. It could be going to a dance class. It could be doing yoga. You know, what I really want people to focus on here is doing something they love. And I really like to hear those success stories from people who email in and say, you know, I used to dance twice a week when I was in university or college or even when I was a teenager, and I haven't done it in 20 years. But, you know, turbulence training has freed up some of my time, so I'm going back and doing that. And I just really like to hear that because you hear the kid in the person emailing, you know, the kid and the youthfulness in them coming out, and it's really neat to hear that. And so I love to hear those stories. Email them in to me, please, and let me know, you know, what activity you're rediscovering after all these years. And so that's what I'm looking for with your activity. It doesn't have to be going to the gym. I mean, there's plenty of stuff you can do outside the gym. We've been brainwashed into thinking that, you know, you can't lose body fat unless you're on some crazy contraption that spits out a fake amount of calories that you're supposed to have burned. I mean, you know, let's not get into that except, you know, just go read your copy of Just Say No to Cardio. But now we're going to get into Tuesday's tip, which is developing eating routines instead of, you know, suffering from night eating and binge eating. So when I talk to my friend Brad Pilon, he's always telling me about how people can avoid overeating at night by developing routines. And that can be as simple as if you're eating a big bowl of ice cream right now, you know, make a smaller bowl, only put a little bit in there. You know, I like to tell people to brush their teeth right after they've eaten so they're less tempted to eat chew gum. And other people like to write in and tell me that if they chew gum, they avoid this stuff. Keeping these foods far away from you. If you're going to, you know, watch your favorite TV shows, keep them in the other room. Have a glass of water there. Keep yourself busy between the commercials so you're not going into the kitchen. Little simple things, having new routines there, are going to help you avoid the overeating. And, you know, one research study showed, and it wasn't surprising, but the further you keep away the food from you, you know, your snack food, the better off you're going to be, the less you're going to eat of it. If you have to actually get up and go and get it, then you're not going to eat as much as if it's within arm's reach. And that goes, you know, that research study was on having a candy bowl at a desk versus having a candy bowl where they had to go up and walk across the room to get it. So develop some simple eating routines to help you avoid the night eating. Now, interestingly enough, I just came across a research study, really geeky science journal came out on Friday called Appetite, and it had a whole bunch of studies in it that were relatively interesting in, you know, when it comes to fat loss here. And one of them talked about, it had this group of women who were all regular chocolate eaters, and they wanted to do a study to see if a brisk walk before exposing them to chocolate would help them reduce their urges. And what they found was when women took a 15-minute brisk walk and then were actually given a chocolate bar, they weren't allowed to eat it. They just had to, like, rate how much they wanted to eat it. They found that the brisk walk reduced the cravings for chocolate. So if you come home, you know, especially at this time of year when chocolate's going to be all around us, you know, you come home, you've had your dinner, and now it's free time for you and there's chocolate in the house and you're tempted, the best thing to do would take a 15-minute walk. If you can, around the neighborhood, take the dog out. I know that's what I would do. If you can't, you know, maybe you can do some, you know, a little bit of bodyweight exercise or something, but overcome that urge, and then you'll have, you know, first of all, you'll overcome the urge. You won't be doing it right away, so you can at least delay it. But second of all, the research shows that if you do some type of activity, you will actually reduce the urge overall. So it's not this, not just that you'll delay it, and maybe you'll find something else to do, but physiologically, you'll actually have less of an urge for it. And then here comes the harsh truth. You know, if it's not really good chocolate, you know, just throw it out. You know, give it away. Do something with it. And don't let your dog eat it, because apparently that's bad, but just get rid of it. I mean, there's so much junk, there's so much garbage, and it's called junk food for a reason. It's junk. So unless it is real high quality and you're sharing it with somebody and you're making an experience out of it, you know, there's no reason to have it. Because if it is in your house, you are going to eat it. And I know that because when I visit my my mom and she's got a few extra treats sitting around the house, if it's there, I'm going to eat it. So when I'm in the big city here and I just don't keep the stuff in the house, and then I have enough meat. So those are some tips for you, helping you avoid the junk food in your life. All right, so now we're on to Wednesday, and we've got some medicine ball tips here, because the December workout of the month is the medicine ball program. So we've got three great workouts in there for you. So if you're in the membership site, you can go and download that. You can watch the videos. We just put them up today. And I want to talk to you about three exercises that are a great break for office workers. Now, I've always told people that if you're an office worker, you should get up, and or if you, anytime, any person that sits at a computer for a long time is what I mean by office worker. Now, you need to get up and do exercises like stick-ups to help you get shoulder mobility, to help you avoid the bad effects of having sitting in that posture for so long. So there's three exercises that use the medicine ball that are really great for loosening up that area and increasing mobility. In fact, these three exercises are some of the exercises I'm doing first thing in the morning on those days when I'm not going to the gym. So the first one is the wood chops. That's one where you have the medicine ball over your head, you squat down, you bring the ball in, you know, down to arm's length at about ankle level or shin level, and then you just, you know, raise back up and take the ball back overhead. And so you just swing the ball overhead and down while you squat. And that's just a great exercise because you can feel that extension at the top and the shoulder blades coming together and working an area that doesn't get a lot of work during the day. Now, another exercise that I like is a chop exercise across the body. So we'll be squatting, and we'll start the exercise with the ball in our hands over one of our shoulders. So let's say it's over our left shoulder, and we've got our feet slightly wider than hip-width apart, and we're going to have some rotation in the upper back, but not at the lower back, but in the upper back, so you know, just about where your shoulder blades are, that's where the rotation is only. And then we're going to squat down and rotate across, again, only rotating with the upper back so that when we're at the bottom of the squat, the ball is going to be down by our opposite ankle, and we're going to be rotated the other way, but again, only from the shoulder blades up. So keep your abs braced and eliminate any of the mobility around your lower back, but focus on mobility of your upper back. That's what you actually want. You want mobility in the upper back, the thoracic spine area, and stability and low mobility in the lower back to help keep your lower back safe. So that's what we're doing there. That's the second exercise. And the third exercise I like is called a lunge chop. So you're going to start with the ball overhead like you do in the wood choppers, and then you're going to lunge forward, taking a nice step, comfortable step, and as you drop into the lunge, you're going to chop that ball across your body and to the inside of your leg. So if you're stepping forward with your left leg, you can start the ball overhead and then come down and chop it across and end up with the ball on the inside of your left leg, down about knee height. And then you'll return to the start position, and you can do it in a walking lunge going forward with each step. And so those are three great exercises. You can either do them as a break during your day, if you have an office where you can close the door, or if you work at home, or at the end of your day when you get home, maybe if you've worked out in the morning, this would be a nice stress reliever. And you don't have to do that for very long. Maybe if you do 10 repetitions of each exercise and go through each one of those three times, that'll only take you 5 minutes at the most, and you'll just feel all loosey-goosey up in the shoulder area, and you'll be feeling wonderful, and hopefully it'll help reduce your stress, and you won't have to have a stiff drink after work. All right, so that's Wednesday. Now, Wednesday also, I should mention, is also a regular turbulence training day, so you're going to have a hard workout at some point in your day. Go to it. Have a great workout with turbulence training. I know you will. And then on Thursday, I want to talk to you about the fact that my dog probably eats more fruits and vegetables than the average American. Because what I read today is that, you know, the recommended number of servings is 5. Which is not that difficult to achieve because, you know, the size of the fruits and vegetables we get now, we're probably looking at 1.5 servings for an apple or 1.5 servings for one of those giant bananas. You know, it's not just one piece of fruit equals one serving. I mean, that's how little fruits and vegetables most Americans are eating. And good old Dally the dog probably eats close to, I mean, he probably gets half a banana a day. He probably gets about half an apple. He likes peppers, so he gets some peppers. If we steam some broccoli, he gets some broccoli, and he likes to eat that. He doesn't like citrus fruits, and he likes pears. So recently I've been buying pears, and he likes those things. He likes blueberries, so he gets some frozen blueberries, or we get some fresh blueberries. What else does he get? Doesn't like asparagus. Apparently they're not supposed to eat onions. Sometimes he steals the avocado from the counter if I don't give him enough attention, and he'll eat the avocado. So, you know, whether you consider that a fruit or vegetable, I'm not sure, but he eats that. What else does he eat? Doesn't seem to eat mushrooms. I actually don't give him those because I'm not sure if those are good for him. Doesn't like carrots. And sometimes he likes strawberries and sometimes he doesn't. So those are often the fruits and vegetables that he gets, and he's probably up close to a couple servings a day, if not five servings a day. So, you know, my challenge to you is, are you eating more fruits and vegetables than my dog? And if you're not, you know, step up to the plate and start doing better, because the more fruits and vegetables you get in your diet, the more whole natural foods, including raw nuts as well, are going to be great to fill you up and help you lose weight. So don't be afraid of raw nuts, because the research shows that when people eat nuts, even though they're a little higher in calories, that they end up reducing their overall calorie intake and do not gain weight when they add nuts to their diet. So in my cupboards, I have pecans, cashews, walnuts, and almonds. I'm not a big walnuts fan, but I try and eat those, and when I mix them up with berries sometimes, I like to eat cashews. Those are just raw cashews. I like to eat those as an afternoon snack. The almonds are raw, and I'll eat those as an afternoon snack. And the pecans, I like to mix with blueberries, coconuts, and melted peanut butter as my first breakfast, as those of you who follow me on the website twitter.com/CraigValentine know that I eat that on a regular basis. So those are all ways to get some more whole natural foods into your diet. Again, they'll fill you up, you'll lose weight, and you won't have that post-meal sleepy feeling that most people do after lunch. Some people have it after breakfast, and people have it after dinner when they eat a lot of processed or modified carbohydrates. So whole natural foods is going to keep you feeling more energetic, you know, more mental energy. If, you know, it's not necessarily to give you more energy in the literal term, but they don't give you that tired feeling. All right, so now we're on to Friday, and I want to talk about some workout tips. So I'm going to talk about to the guys here first. We're going to talk about my recent program. We're going to talk about muscle hypertrophy. My friend Brad Pilon told me about a research study. He said that, you know, if a person wants to get muscle hypertrophy, they should aim for about 40 to 60 repetitions per body part in a workout. So I've actually increased the number of sets and reps in a couple of my exercises to get a little more volume. So I'm starting a new program on probably Wednesday of the week, and I'm going to be doing a few extra sets of 4 sets of 10. So I'm going to be doing upper body, lower body split. I'll be training Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, taking Tuesday and Thursday off and doing medicine ball work in the mornings so I can get more work done over the course of the day. And then Saturdays we'll probably just, you know, do something different. You know, maybe I'm going to try and get a bike and get some mountain biking in, hopefully before it snows. But that's what the plan is. It's going to be bench press. And I'll just take a look at workout 8 here. I'll go through it. Workout 8 is bench press, 3 sets of 3 repetitions. So I'm trying to keep my bench press strength up. Wide grip seated row, 3 sets of 8, and dumbbell incline press, 4 sets of 10. Dumbbell shrug row, which is, you know, not a bent over row, but it's not a stand up shrug. It's kind of a modified hybrid there. I like that exercise, and I'm going to do 4 sets of 10 of that. Dumbbell curls, 4 sets of 10, and I may do some hammer strength pressing at the gym I go to for more pressing, or maybe do a tricep exercise there. So that's my workout A, and I'll go over some of the other workouts in the next call that we have next week. All right, so women, I want to talk to you about another woman who emailed me in and told me some surprising news. So, this is surprising to her, I suppose, but I've heard it before in that she does a lot of spinning and her legs are getting bigger. Now, I give people who spin a hard time only because I just think you can get the same results in about a third of the time. Rather than doing a full spinning class, why not just do intervals on your own in 20 minutes rather than doing a 45 to 60 minute class? You'll get more results. So that's one reason I give people a hard time for spinning. Two, the other reason is I don't like the high RPM spinning. I've watched women's spinning classes before, only because I was training in the gym, not because I was just staring and watching women do spinning classes. But anyways, I've watched women do these spinning classes, and then, you know, I train some of them, and they always tell me they have sore hips. And if you watch these women's hips when they do spinning at high RPM, and they're just all over the place, and you can tell they don't have proper strength in their abdominals and endurance to control their hips there, it's just... You know, it doesn't look good, and it's not surprising if they report hip problems when they do that high RPM spinning. So I don't like that. I'd rather just see people doing an 80 to 100 RPM on a stationary bike for interval training. And then we have these reports. This is the third knock against it. We have third knock against spinning is we have these reports from women who tell me, or tell other trainers I know, that their thighs get bigger from the spinning classes. And I honestly don't know why. As you can see, if you take a look at Olympic bike sprinters, you see that women's legs are quite big, but I don't know if it is the volume of the spinning classes, you know, people that are addicted to spinning do it so much and they get bigger legs. I'm not sure what the problem is. So I'm just not a big fan of the spinning classes, although I'm a big fan of the stationary bike for interval training, so it does seem like a bit of a contradiction, but if you are having that problem, then maybe you need to look at some alternatives for your interval training, such as the treadmill, such as the bodyweight circuits, or something else. So, you know, we've heard from women with that. I just want to let you know that some people do experience that problem. On the other hand, some, you know, there's quite a few women with fantastic hips and thighs in the spinning classes that certainly don't have that problem. But, you know, we have heard that feedback before, so I just want to let people know about that. All right. And let's move on to Saturday now. Saturday, I always like to talk about being your social support day, because most people do have this off work. So, you know, there's three things that you should be doing for social support, or three things that you can do on a membership site for social support here. The first one is obviously visit the membership site. I mentioned a study recently out of Sweden that showed the more often people visited a weight loss club internet website, the more successful they were at losing weight. So the more you use it, the more success you're going to have, because you can get more support, you're going to have more interaction, you're going to have more commitment, more involvement. And again, as I mentioned at the top of the call, people get more results when they are more active in the forum. So it's very important for people to do that. All right, so that's one of the things. Another thing I want to mention is they should go to the Transformation Forum, interact with other people, and also when you go to the Transformation Forum, or when you go to the forum, click on the Transformation Contest area and go to the third contest, click on that, and then look at the final photos and essays that are coming in from people, because we are seeing incredible results. I mean, really incredible results from our first, you know, 10 people that have entered. And we still have another week and a bit to go until people have the last day to enter the contest. So really incredible results. Go and cheer them on, please. So if you're in the membership area, please do that. And the other thing I want to mention is we had some recent teleseminars where I interviewed Brad Pilon, some really interesting stuff about his Eat Stop Eat program, helping people lose weight with his intermittent fasting approach, and how to do it right, and who succeeds best with it. And then I also spoke with a guy named Zach Evanesh, who is a ball of energy, and he had some really great tips about bodyweight training, and training at home, and just having the right mindset. And those are some real short calls. You can download them and listen. You know, if you've got a 20-minute drive to work, you'll probably be able to listen to it once on the way there, once on the way home, and you'll hear everything. Really cool stuff. All right, but I also want to mention another research study from this Appetite Journal showed that, this study was only on women, but it showed that women eat the most fat, calories, and cholesterol at family meals. So, you know, when you prepare a family meal for the family, that's when people are eating the most fat, calories, and cholesterol. So, you know, it's not going to be a fun, you know, this isn't a fun answer to give, but you have to change. If you're involved in the food preparation, you will need to explore some nutrition and cookbooks that give you some more options that are also, you know, acceptable to your family. So it's tough. I mean, let's not say, oh, it's easy. You just gotta, you know, feed your family chicken breast and broccoli. I mean, you gotta feed your family food that they like, but is also in accordance with the results that you want. So, Gourmet Nutrition is definitely one of the, books that I recommend from John Berardi. And, we will certainly look into some additional references. I'm not much of a cookbook guy myself, but I know we have some great cookbook recipes on the forum, in the nutrition forum on turbulence training in the members area, so you can check that out, or I will mention some next week in our next call. All right, I also want to talk about, oh, we're on to Sunday now, so I want to talk about what's in my fridge. So if you go to the website here is tinyurl.com/TTFridge. So tinyurl.com/TTFridge. Or you can just go to my blog, which is turbulencetraining.blogspot.com, and go to Friday, November 28th, 2008, and you'll see a picture of my fridge. And you'll see what's in it. So you'll also see the one thing that's in my fridge that is not in anyone else's fridge anywhere. But let's take a look at what I have in here. So we will start on the top shelf, and that's where I keep the omega-3 eggs that I have, also cheese, and that's where I have some blueberries, some fresh blueberries in containers. Now on the middle shelf, I have some mushrooms, I have some cooked chicken breasts, so I barbecued those up in a mass little six chicken breast barbecue and ate some and then put some in this container. I also prepared some raw vegetables. So every day I'm cutting up some broccoli and green peppers and red peppers, and we keep them in the little container there, and I snack on those at breakfast, at lunch, and at dinner. I just started eating onions now recently because my friend Mike Geary from truthaboutabs.com wrote about this in one of his recent newsletters, and I had never really given thought to eating onions. But obviously they're very healthy, they have powerful antioxidants, so now I'm putting them in my omelets. I'm putting them in whatever I make at dinner time. I mean, you know, usually I like to make some type of chicken breasts and vegetables and, you know, some type of soup or something. So putting them in with the onions or in with the soup there. I think I might add them to chili, to salads. So I'm now eating a lot of onions. All right. So bottom shelf, I got asparagus. I have baby spinach, water. So I got the Brita filter there. Perrier, I like have Perrier in the afternoon because it makes me think like I'm drinking something carbonated, you know, something better than carbonated water, but I'm not. And then canteens of water, so I have those clean canteens, which you see now are very popular, and so I keep those in there with, so I put water in the Brita, filter it, and then pour it into clean canteens, and then I drink that, a lot of water. I probably like drink about 4 liters per day. I'm used to it, and if I don't have it, that much water, then I can tell. But it's just because I've become so accustomed to it over time. So if I really think that, you know, the 8 cups a day, I mean, you're not going to die if you don't get 8 cups a day. And I'm not really sure if there is real scientific validation for exactly 8 cups per day. But I do think that the more water, not the more water you drink, but if you drink, yeah, the more water you drink, the more you're going to have a better opportunity to control your appetite. It may work for some people, it might not work for others, but I recommend, you know, at least the 8 cups, if not 12 cups of water per day. And for me, it's just a day, a part of my day, and I'd be lost without it. All right, so next in my left crisper there, I have my apple collection, which is currently contained of Granny Smith,